Welcome back.
Good morning once again. This is Jim Santel reviewing with you this morning the events leading up to the announcement by the former Attorney General, William Barr, about what was and was not in the Mueller report, this compendium, this 500-page document issued by Special Counsel Robert Mueller, the former director of the FBI, former U.S. attorney, making findings about what happened in connection with the Russia involvement, if any, with the 2016 election. We know there was a lot, but not in particular relationship with the Trump administration, and more importantly, focusing upon obstruction of justice. Robert Mueller, as I said before the break, identified 10, probably 6 to 8 of these prosecutable instances where the former president engaged in conduct in the nature of obstruction of justice. And so this report gets delivered to the Attorney General way back on March 22nd of 2019. It is not yet released into the public domain. And 2 days later on March 24th, the Attorney General releases a four-page memorandum, a four-page letter to the Congress in which he basically says that, yes, with respect to Russia, nothing there to see, no conspiracy, which is accurate in terms of what the report said. But then he goes on to say, oh, by the way, I and the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, have also reviewed the report and determined there is no basis upon which to prosecute the former president, at that time the president, for obstruction of justice. And it is that report, that finding, if you will, that representation repeated on the very day, on April 18th, when the report was finally publicly released to all of us, to all of you, to the Congress, to everyone else. It is that second finding that the report does not, in fact, support a finding, a predicate for prosecuting for obstruction of justice that was the focus of so much attention and so much focus. Why? Because those of us who did, and I suspect many of you have read, if not the entire 500-page opus, lots of it, you come away, you are absolutely convinced, based upon Bob Mueller's assessment, that there are instances, many of them prosecutable, of obstruction of justice. So this complete disconnect, if you will, between what the Attorney General had written and what he had said days after, 48 hours after getting this report to the Congress and to the American public, a narrative that I would offer remains to this day, people believing that with respect to both portions of the Mueller report, there is no finding. There was no finding of obstruction of justice, when in fact Bob Mueller had said just the opposite. Bob Mueller would go on in July, when he was testifying before the Congress about this, to explicitly say that what the Attorney General had reported was not accurate. He went on to say that is not what our report said. He wrote to the Attorney General shortly after the Attorney General was announcing these things and said, you have misconstrued what we said. You have not accurately described what my report says. And so he took him on directly, but nonetheless, the narrative took hold. And the question that comes from all of that history is, where did the Attorney General get this notion that the report, contrary to what he said and contrary to what every single analyst out there who's honest about the report has reported on it, where did he get that notion? Where did that come from? Well, it turns out that, and we've known this for a long period of time, that the Office of Legal Counsel, an office inside the Department of Justice, in particular the staff there and two of the assistant attorneys general inside that office, had authored a 7-page memorandum internal to the Department of Justice given to the Attorney General within hours, if you will, after his receipt of the report and prior to his announcement about what this report said. And it's that memorandum, that 7-page memorandum that was finally released this past week. For a number of years, many years, frankly, 3 years, the Department of Justice under both administrations had declined to release this internal memorandum on the basis it was deliberative in nature, that it was the result of the back and forth, the discussion being had. And in the end, a district court judge named Amy Berman Jackson in Washington, D.C. said, you know, I'd buy that if there was truly some deliberation. The problem with this is that this memorandum basically codifies a decision already made. And that's one of the first points that you pull away from the memorandum when you read it now, that as Amy Berman Jackson thought when she reviewed the memorandum, this is not the result of a deliberative process. This was a result of being directed to justify a decision and provide behind the scenes, if you will, explanations for what it is that the Attorney General was saying. And So just this past week, the United States Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit affirmed Amy Burnham Jackson and said, nope, Department of Justice, you got to release it. And so the Merrick Garland, the present attorney general, did just that. What does this memorandum say? What does it reveal about the Office of Legal Counsel under the Barr administration? And what should we take away from it in terms of meaning? Well, a number of different things. First of all, comes to the conclusion that the evidence described in the second portion of the report is not, in our judgment, according to the Assistant Attorneys General, Office of Legal Counsel, who wrote it, sufficient to support a conclusion beyond a reasonable doubt that the president violated the obstruction of justice statutes. And goes on to describe in the following pages the bases for that. I'm going to spend some time in the remaining moments of this hour talking with you about the reasons why that report, again, is inconsistent with what Bob Mueller said. It is inconsistent with the law and inconsistent with the facts as they're set forth in that volume. A stunning memorandum that, again, is accessible, should be read if you have the time, by all Americans who are interested in these kinds of things. Along the way, the authors of the memorandum said, you know, even though the special counsel himself chose not to make a specific prosecution decision here, we're going to do that. And so recommended, and the attorney general did choose not to prosecute at all. Along the way, saying this, while cataloging the actions the president took, many of which took place in public view. Again, a first interesting comment that somehow the fact that many of these obstructive acts were in the public view, that makes a difference. It does not. It does not under the law, but nonetheless highlighted by the authors of this memorandum for the attorney general. The report identifies, they say, no actions that in our judgment constituted obstructive acts done with a nexus to pending proceedings with the corrupt intent necessary to warrant prosecution under the obstruction of justice statutes. And then they go on to talk about the bases for that particular finding. Let me identify two or three of the fundamental errors in law that many people have identified in this memorandum. Shocking, stunning, surprising, coming out of the Office of Legal Counsel, which is supposed to be this office inside the Department of Justice that provides information, candid information, direct information to the Attorney General so that he or she can make appropriate decisions about policy and prosecution. Listen to what the folks who wrote this memorandum say. They first of all begin by saying that there's no precedent for this, that there's nothing that we can identify in the law, in the past history of cases that would support this kind of prosecution. They cite a couple of cases, but indeed, along the way, they fail to acknowledge that there are all kinds of justifications for precedents that would support prosecutions for this kind of thing. It is common for people to look at this memorandum and say today that if you and I, if other people, not the President of the United States of America, were to engage in these kinds of prosecutorial, or rather obstructive events, we would in fact be prosecuted. And in fact, the notion that there is not a precedent for this is simply belied by tens, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 100 years of history of prosecution in America. More significantly than that, listen to what the memorandum says about the predicates for a prosecution for obstruction of justice. They say this. Given this conclusion, the evidence does not establish a crime of criminal conspiracy involving the president toward which any obstruction or attempted obstruction by the president was directed. It would be rare for federal prosecutors to bring an obstruction prosecution that did not itself arise out of a proceeding related to a separate crime. And so what does that mean? Why is that also very, very important? They're talking about the notion that in order to prosecute for obstruction of justice, you've got to have an underlying offense conduct. That is, you have to have found in this case that the president engaged in a conspiracy with the Russians before you can charge for obstruction of justice. And that, as anyone who knows these kinds of things, who's prosecuted cases in federal and state forums, that is simply a misstatement of the law. And I would offer that the authors of this, high-level people at the Office of Legal Counsel, know better when they describe this. It is an impediment to bringing a prosecution of the president based upon this notion that he was not, in fact, found reliable, or found responsible, rather, reliably responsible for the events itself related to Russia. That is the first of several problems with this memorandum. Again, this notion that you need a predicate offense conduct, a finding of that, maybe even a conviction, before you can charge for obstruction of justice. Plainly not the case, as many people have observed. How could that possibly be? If you're successful in obstructing justice, there will be no finding. We'll talk about some other problems with this memorandum in our last few moments of this hour into the next hour as we're chatting here on Morning Cannolis about this memorandum coming out of the Office of Legal Counsel 3 years ago, just released this past week.